Hallelujah. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. There my burdened soul found liberty. Oh, I was just reading the other day. I like to just read, you know. And I was reading the other day. It said when the Sabbath came, they was to bring no burden on the Sabbath day. No, not even to the gate of the city. Not to the gate of the temple. No burden is to come into the temple of the Lord. And I thought, you know, that's really how you have church. Don't bring it in the door. When you come in here, don't bring it. Let it out the road somewhere. Don't even bring it to the door. Don't come in here with all your burdens and try to worship God. This is the place we worship Him free of burdens, free of those things. We'll thank Him for all the things He's done for us, doing for us, going to do for us. But Lord, if we're weighted down with the burdens, you can't worship Him when you're burdened down. A burden is a weight. And He said, lay it down out there when you come into the house of God. And I believe that's what we need to do. We come here no matter what tomorrow holds for you, no matter what's going on today. This is a moment we need to take to worship God. Can you say amen and magnify Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 3 and 12 and 13. I want to talk to you about seizing the day. Amen. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, it's amazing. He's comparing unbelief to an evil heart. Wow. But exhort one another daily. And I think we don't understand that word exhort. We think it means chew them out or get on them. Or no, that's not what it means. This word exhort means to give advice speedily. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. You see, what we do is, I could have told you that. He said, don't wait until it's I could have told you thing. Tell me today. Let me know today. And if I make a wrong decision, shame on me. But tell me today, pastor, preacher, friend, the one I love, my mate, my children, whatever. Tell me today so I don't mess my tomorrows up. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen. You, when you look at people that are hard toward God, they're deceived by sin. And sin makes you hard toward God. So I want to talk about seizing the day. Lord, I'm thankful for this Tuesday night and these people that have gathered together to hear your word. I ask that you anoint me as your word is already anointed, and anoint their ears to hear this word and apply it not only to today, but tomorrow and the next day, all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Seize the day. A day is not just one day. It can be a season and a time in your life. It may be a week. It may last a month. It may be several years. But there is a day. This, you know, talks about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is at hand. And there's a day. This is my day. Doesn't always mean 24 hours. And so seize means to take possession by force. And when God instructed Joshua to seize a city, He told him to, when you come up out of your ambush, he said, because they lost the first trip to Ai, if you remember. The second trip, they set up an ambush and God pulled them out of the city. And then they run back into the city and set it on fire. And He told them, go seize the city. He said, for I have delivered it unto you. You still got to take it over, but I've given it unto you. And we need to seize the day. The Lord's given you this day. I pray He gives you tomorrow. But if you don't seize that day, you will lose that day. And you'll lose the promises of that day. And sometimes when losing the promise of one day, the consequences can last many years, if not a lifetime. The writer of Hebrews warns and says to take heed, brethren, lest any of you that have an evil heart of unbelief, not thinking that God listens, not thinking that He can do it, it's never going to happen, blah, blah, blah. He said, that's an evil heart. You're minimizing God. He told Sarah, is there anything too hard for me? So He said, let us exhort one another, lest we let the deceitfulness of sin. In another place, He talks about the deceivableness of riches. People that think they have money are invincible, but they're not. And people that sin many times think that it's never going to catch up with them. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap it. Amen. And it says when sin gets through, when it's finished with you, it always brings forth death. So exhort means to give advice, urgent advice, and give that advice today while it is yet called today. Amen. We need to seize the opportunities and take possession of every time we have this opportunity, lest we sit back and ponder. I've said many times, think about it. Think it over, but don't overthink it. And we miss our opportunity because we sit back and you say, oh God, the Lord brought this to my attention. The Lord's given me this. And we go, but what if? You know, I'm not real sure that, you know, it could be it. And we talk ourselves out of seizing the opportunity and we miss an opportunity, perhaps even of a lifetime. There's an old saying that opportunity knocks how many times? There's a saying because there's a lot of truth to that. Because many times when you miss that opportunity, there's not another opportunity ever like that one before. There will never be another day like today. There will never be another day just like this one here. Nothing. It'll never be the same. Tomorrow will be different. And so God promised Israel, and this is where I want to go tonight. God has promised Israel while they were yet in slavery that they would come out of Egypt bondage and they would go in and possess or take a land. They would seize the land that God would give them, but they still had to seize the land. And they would come to a land of fulfillment of the promises of God where they would walk into a land and they would live in houses that they didn't build. Now, how many of you would like to do that? They would draw water from wells they didn't dig. I'd like to do that. They would eat fruit from trees they didn't plant. I'm telling you, every fruit I eat in my yard, I planted. I wish I could have bought a place that had 40, 50-year-old pecan trees and orange trees already on it. But it didn't. My kids will get the fruit of my labor more than I will from the pecan trees and chestnuts and things that I've planted. So he says, I'm bringing you to a land of opportunity, but you still must seize the moment. So God brought them out of Egypt bondage and across the Red Sea, and they didn't have to get in boats or P-Rows or catch a ferry to get across. They come across on what? Yeah, now I won't show you what the Lord showed me. They come across on dry land, and they kept walking on dry land. The wilderness started at the bottom of the Red Sea. Yeah, see, you catch that? They walked across on dry land. When they got to the other side, it was just as dry over there as it was under the Red Sea when they walked through. And sometimes the wilderness starts when you think you're blessing it. Oh, thank God, that's the wilderness starting. That's the wilderness starting. Because when they got to the other side, they rejoiced because the seas came back and washed away their enemies. But now what? Now what? It's pretty dry around here, Moses. You got any water in that canteen? I'm kind of hungry. You know, sometimes liberation is not as good as you think. And God took them out with his welfare system. He brought them out of that land of Egypt bondage across the Red Sea, and they didn't have to work. They didn't have to slave over anything, no hot stoves or nothing. They had a cloud by day, a fire by night to keep them warm. It led them through their little journey, which was only supposed to take a couple of weeks to get to their promised land. It wasn't going to last long. But in a matter of a few weeks, they arrived at the banks of Jordan River. Hallelujah. Right on the verge of our promise. Everything that God told us is right over there. And they went to the top of the mountain and looked over and they said, my God, it's green over there. It sure is dry here. It looks like everything God promised. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. Let's go check it out. So they got one head of the tribe for every tribe of Israel. They got 12 of these spies together. And they went over there for 40 days to spy out the land. Remember? And they look over the land and they bring back some of the good of the land. A cluster of grapes on one cluster on a big pole carried between two people. Now that's I'm telling you, give me a grape. You know, I'll take a grape. It's probably the size of a melon or whatever. And we get grapes. They just give me one. These were huge. And they were so impressed with what God had promised them. It is everything God said it would be. And much to your surprise tonight, and contrary to what you've been told or perhaps read wrongly, they all came back with a good report. Yes, all 12 of them came back with a good report by saying it is everything God said it would be. Surely it is a land that flows with milk and honey. Check this out. God wasn't kidding. It's wonderful over there. It is great. You know, but, you see, two of them didn't have a but in there. The other four said, I don't, you know. They began to minimize God. They had a good report until they looked at their own strength. And 10 of them said, their report turned evil when they said, we're not able. It was a good report. All 12 of them had a good report up until then. But when they looked, they said, they be stronger than we. It is a land filled with giants that eats the inhabitants thereof. We're like grasshoppers to them. We're not able. As if you were able to cross the Red Sea, as if you were able to get manna out of heaven, as if you were able to get water out of the rock or make a cloud by day, as if you could have done that. But when they saw right at the moment of seizing the promises of God, they got weak. There's a lot of times people survive real catastrophes in their lives, and then they flip over something that's not so bad. This testimony was an indictment against God. The Bible called it slander. They slandered the land and they slandered God. Anybody ever been slandered before? You ain't been living if you ain't been slandered. Or you think you don't have any enemies, you're wrong. You need to listen in sometimes. Everybody's been slandered. But you don't slander God. It's like the song says, blame it on me. Don't blame it on him. If I falter and if I fail, don't blame it on him. Just blame it on me. And they slandered God, and it was an indictment against God. And he had already done so many things for them and gave them the food from heaven and preserved their clothes even until the day they would cross over. And when Caleb heard them say, you can read it in your Bible. I'm just trying to get through this so you'll understand. When he heard them say, we're not able, he stilled the people. Can I have your attention? Hey, Can I have your attention? We are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once. And they murmured some more. And they minimized their God. And God minimized them. When you get to that place of opportunity, see, Caleb could have written my two verses. I read them again. When you get to the place of opportunity, you must make it quick. You must seize the moment. Caleb could have written Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart in departing from the living God to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And they sinned against God and transgressed against him, believing they were not able to take the land. It is amazing to me how God can bring some people through many years of adversity, and when they get to their moment of opportunity, for fear they draw back. God has sustained them all this time, and for fear of failure, they draw back. If God was going to let you fail, he'd let you fall in the Red Sea. But he doesn't bring you this far to let you down now. Oh, I hope I helped somebody tonight. You've got to seize the moment. And so because they didn't seize the moment, they never had another moment. They were turned back for 40 years to wander in the wilderness. You know, we should have went. You know what we should have done? I wish we would have listened to Caleb that day. And while they were all getting older, Caleb and Joshua didn't. Did you understand that? While they were all getting older, Caleb and Joshua wasn't. So when the day arose, they had a fresh opportunity, and they were just as fresh. Caleb said, "My strength has not abated me from the day that y'all said we can't go over." He said, "Give me my mountain." And he slew those giants and took his mountain. My, my. When Moses explained to them how they slandered God with their unbelief, and then he began to explain to them the penalty of slandering God and saying, "Well, I don't think God can do it. We're not able. It takes too long. It's too hard. I just don't know if I'm capable." And all these kind of things. And he told them how they had wasted their opportunity and there was no more doors of opportunity for them. Then you know what? They tried to create their own door. And in Numbers 14 and 40, I want to read this for you. They decided, "Well, Lord, if I'm going to die back there in the wilderness and plagues and all these kind of things, let's go, let's go. I'm with you, let's go." And so they decided to get them a group of people, and they're going to go anyway. Because God promised it anyhow, right? And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, just like they did before. And they said, "Lo, we be here. And we go up into the place where the Lord hath promised." Bless God. He's promised us this land. Let's go take it. "For we have sinned." Now, you have to understand this. Sin will never lead you to the promises of God. It leads you to God, but not to the promises of God. Yeah. Yeah. They lead you. They drive you to God to seek God, but they don't lead you to the promise. Obedience leads you to the promises of God. So they're ready to go now, but they have sinned. And Moses said, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord?" Are you going to double sin? Wait a minute. I told you he's not going. You're not going to win. Now are you going to say we're going to do it anyway? You've got a better chance saying, "God, I'm sorry. I messed that opportunity up. Could you give me another opportunity? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye may not be smitten before you enter." I'm trying to help you here. See, Moses was exhorting them that day while it was today. "For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." That's a scary thing to me, to think that God is not with me in things I do in this life and for him and even in this world. I want God with me in everything I do. Amen. Verse 44. "But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop anyway. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp." Moses said, "God, if your presence doesn't go, I'm staying. I'm staying in the presence of the Lord. If you move, I move. If the ark of the covenant doesn't move, I'm staying." And the ark of the covenant didn't move, so I'm staying. So if God's not in it, I don't want any part of it. Hallelujah. It may be the job. I don't know what. If God's not in it, I don't want any part of it. Numbers 14 and 45. "Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even to Horeb." There comes a moment in every person's life and in their walk with God where God shows you his power. He shows you his fulfillment. He shows you his promises. But faith is your ability to seize the moment. And it truly, we walk by faith, but I'm telling you, it comes down to a moment. It comes down to a moment. If I could pause right here and just tell you a little bit of my own personal testimony in this life. I was a man that went to dental school. I went 8 years to become a dentist and practiced about 10 years. And you would think this is your lifetime job. You'll never change from doing that. But the Lord was leading me before I ever knew I would get out. He was leading me into what I do now. And so I went back to college 2 years to learn to do what I do now while I was practicing dentistry and raising my kids and being a husband and hunting and fishing and everything I could possibly do to enjoy life. But I was still, God was changing me. The moment hadn't come. But I was in transition of what God was doing in my life, not knowing where I would go. And then after some episodes of things that happened in the dental practice and all, God put the handwriting on the wall. And I looked at my wife, and I will tell you, it was all about AIDS back then. And I had 3 AIDS patients. None of them told me they had AIDS. And one of them I went to church with. One of them was my wife's first cousin. And the other one I went to high school with. In 6 months, they're all dead. And I had worked on all of them for years. And so I called the last one that was living, and I asked him a question. I was upset. Why you didn't tell me? Because none of them had checked the box and said, I'm HIV positive or I have AIDS. None of them checked the box. They all lied to me. And I risked my life and everybody else's life and the next patient that sat in the chair. And I said, God, you're telling me something. And so I talked to the last dude that was still alive, and I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, I was embarrassed, afraid you wouldn't work on me. I said, no excuse. No excuse. And I hung up the phone. I was aggravated. I looked at my wife just like this, and I said, if God opens up a door for me to get out of dentistry, I will sell my practice, get out, or whatever. 2 weeks later, the phone rings. Now, phone rings. A moment of opportunity. You can blow off all you want to what you're going to do. It comes down to seizing the moment. And my phone rang about 2 weeks later. And a doctor in town asked me, said, Marshall, he said, I'm trying to build a bigger practice, and I just thought you got a pretty good sized practice, and I got maybe we could merge our practices and have a bigger. I said, I'm in. I'm telling you, I didn't have to pray about this thing.